Let's get to our guest. It is Cheryl Smith, economist and PM at Trillion Asset Management, with us to look at markets. So, Cheryl, the latest data here suggests that the Fed will probably have to embrace higher rates for even longer than we heard at Jackson Hole. It's tempting to say the Bears are going to win this one.
I'm afraid that you are correct. The Fed was very, very clear on Friday that inflation is going to be their very strongest concern, and they are, I would say, scared that they are going to see a repeat of 1978, 79, 90, 1981. And they have said, I found one quote that Powell made was really notable. He said, that is the Fed's responsibility to deliver price stability is unconditional. That is a huge switch from the Jackson Hole pledge of just 2 years ago that they would equally consider unemployment and inflation. And it's really very much said that they intend to break the back of inflation, and they have a long way to go before they do that.
Well, to a degree, they don't have to consider unemployment too much. We had a pretty decent jobs report, the consumer report also looking pretty decent. The Fed's got some room to stretch its legs there, right?
It has quite a bit of room, but remember that unemployment is a lagging indicator. And so you won't know how much unemployment you're going to get until you're already started into a recession. And the difficulty for central banks is that the lag on monetary policy is long and variable. It's anywhere between a year to 18 months before this, before tightening by a central bank starts to affect economic activity. So the Fed just started indicating that it was going to tighten in December, started tightening in March, started the quantitative tightening in July, and it's just June, and is just now starting the larger amounts of quantitative tightening. So we have a lot that's kind of already in the pipeline that's not going to be coming online until later. So there's a lot of opportunity for unemployment to rise on the back of tightening that's already in the system.
It seems like all of that that you just laid out very eloquently deserved more than 8 minutes from the Fed chief.
I think it was a surprise that it was so short and, let's not say sweet, but that it was so concise. But I think that the Fed and all of the people at the Fed are very concerned that they believe that the market, the equity market, misread them after the last meeting. And so by devising a tighter statement with fewer words, I think they believe that there's less room for people to try and take those words and turn them into what they want. And so he was exceptionally clear.
Yeah, not a lot of ambiguity there. And we have seen markets decline for a third straight day. When do you think the repricing is going to be done, just quickly?
The repricing in the market for just Jackson Hole, I think it'll be another week or two. But we are still expecting to see profits soften, and we're expecting to see market damage continuing on for quite a time.
And Cheryl, we've established earlier in our conversation that the Fed's just not going to be there anymore for markets in terms of easy money, as we've seen for most of the century so far. So that means we're back to good old fundamentals. When you're investing in companies now, which ones look best poised to survive this new reality?
We think that this environment is going to favor companies that have a solid business model and have already been demonstrating profits. The model, where the Fed comes riding to the rescue every time markets dip is a market that really favors more volatile companies. And so I think that investors are going to be looking for companies that have demonstrated ability to get a return on equity, to get a return on assets, and ones that are not highly leveraged. As the Fed looks to be raising interest rates, that's not a positive sign for any company that's really highly leveraged. So we think it'll be back to very much fundamentals that are for demonstrated ability to grow profits on their own without Fed help.
Will the reshoring of companies over the next of different types of manufacturing, especially key manufacturing like semiconductors, will that reshoring raise costs in a major way and make the jobs even more difficult for the Fed? That's one part of the question. The other part is it a net much more of a positive than a negative?
I actually don't think that the reshoring will raise costs at all, for a couple of different reasons. One is that over the past 30 years that we've seen the offshoring, we have seen labor rates rise in country after country, and in jobs have moved ahead of them, so chasing cheaper labor and cheaper labor. But as that has happened, companies have realized that there are some downsides to the offshoring. One, as we faced during the pandemic, is a very extended supply chain that is dependent upon really smooth and clockwork-like transportation, moving from one mode of transportation to another mode of transportation smoothly across a port, smoothly across a border. And they need to build in a sort of precautionary balance against that. Having the jobs closer to home makes that a lot simpler and a lot easier. Another element, of course, is the increase in automation, increase in machine-assisted levels, which mean that the differential in labor cost is not as important. And so I think that they've also found that that's an issue. And then simply the coordination issues of having production on one side of the world versus the other with time zones and language, I think had introduced some costs that manufacturers really perhaps didn't anticipate how strong those calls would be. So I think we'll be seeing offshoring and, onshoring in the United States, but we'll also see onshoring in other countries as well.
Yeah, we've seen a tremendous upheaval in the broad macro picture in the past couple of years. Have you been changing your strategy recently, been making any tweaks to how you approach markets?
We've been becoming incrementally more cautious over the past 7-8 months. And that's as we see the Fed very clearly signaling that they are becoming concerned about inflation, that they are moving inflation into their top priority, that they are, and they put out statements like, we're going to, our responsibility to deliver price stability is unconditional. We'll do whatever it takes. Those are the kinds of phrases that make us concerned about the degree of monetary tightness that we are going to be seeing over the next 6 months, the next 9 months, and then that's going to be having an effect for the next year and 9 months, for the next 2 years.
All right, Cheryl Smith, economist and portfolio manager at Trillium Asset Management. Thanks for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.